Well, again, guys, thank you for being here. I'm having a lot of work done at my house. I guess when you live in a house for almost 40 years, that there's a lot of stuff that goes wrong. And my house, when it was brand new, Margie and I moved in after it was been there for, I don't know, it's like 3 years old when Margie and I moved in. But there is nothing in our house that is square. And those of you that aren't builders, that doesn't bother you. But when you're trying to hang something up or you're trying to do something and nothing. Anyway, I tell you all that because I stepped out on my front porch a couple weeks ago. And I kind of noticed that the front porch is kind of slanting down a little bit like this. And I thought it was just because I was getting old. And so I stepped down on the first step and I stepped down on the second step. But when I got to the bottom step like this, it just crumbled and gave way. And I didn't want to tell Margie, so she can tell because I went out and I bought a 2x6 and I replaced the one board that I had to replace, and it's bright white because you can't just stain it right away. You have to let the whatever's in it, the copper or whatever's in it, kind of go away. Anyway, I'm learning all those things, and I tried not to use any power tools for those of you that were worried about me. But see, when I stepped on it, I realized that my porch now is actually pulling away from the house. So that's one of the things we're having done. And as it's pulling away and I stepped on that step, I realized that going all this time in and out, those steps lacked integrity. There was nothing, I mean, they were flawed. It was internally compromised. And I found that out when I tried to drill out the screws that were in there, and it just kept chewing up the wood because the wood was basically rotted out. Integrity. James is concerned about integrity. He's concerned about religion that's true. He's concerned with true, genuine religion and Christianity, authentic spirituality, a faith which has integrity. This is what he says, and I'm going to be in chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 19, and I'm only going to do 19, 20, and 21. So I'm just going to pick out those three verses, and we're going to take an in-depth look at that. He says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. James, so far, we're finding out it's a practical book. James, the brother of Jesus, he's saying, you know, guys, do these things. Do these things. And he's saying now that we should be encouraged during our trials. Yes, you're going to have trials. Yes, you're going to go through those. Jesus promised that. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. And so James, his brother, is saying this. You're going to go through trials, but you know what? Be of good cheer. Have joy. Count it joy when you meet these trials of various kinds. And now, we're starting in this verse, we're starting to see he's going to start giving us practical things to put in place. How to walk the walk. Not just talk the talk, but how to walk the walk. So today, we're going to kind of explore the essence of what it means to be a hearer and a doer of God's word. The first thing he says is be quick to listen. I'm not an artist, by the way. Okay, so be quick to listen and be what? Slow to what? Slow to speak. I guess he needs some eyes. Okay, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's the first thing. He says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce righteousness." He says, be quick, be quick. What does he mean? Be quick to retaliate? No, be quick to prove a point? No, what is he saying? Be quick to what? Listen. Listen is a verb, and listen simply means to give one's attention to a sound, to make an effort to hear something. It implies that we are to hear. We are to actively listen. We listen to others as they're talking. We live in a time, in a culture where nobody listens. In other words, I'm just going to listen to you until you stop talking so I can interject what I have to say. So I'm really not listening. And it comes with the word of God. James is preaching to this church that's been scattered. And as they come together, he's trying to tell them, listen, you've got to hear the truth. Quit trying to argue with the truth. And we see how this plays out in our lives today, don't we? How many of you are on social media? How many times have you read a post or something and it just made your blood boil? And what was your first response? What's the first thing you wanted to do? Nobody? Yeah, you want to comment, right? I want to say what's on my mind because what I have to say is important, you know, that kind of thing. But being quick to listen means we pause, we stop. When I listen, I stop for a minute. I let you make your point. I stop and I listen and I start to think about what you are saying. It's the same thing as I pause long enough. It gives a pause and it gives a beat. And it makes us think like, okay, I had a point, but now I'm listening to you. And when it comes to God's word, I'm listening to God's word. What is God saying to me? I think about in the Old Testament, Job. You guys know the story of Job. Here's Job went through all these problems. And what does he do? He's questioning God. You know, his friends are coming in saying this, 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 this. And he's going, look, I haven't done anything wrong. I did this. I just want to die. I just want to die. And so God says to him, and I'm in chapter 40, and God says this in verse 2. Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. So he says that to Job. How do you think Job responds? He responds like this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not answer. Twice and I will proceed no further. In other words, God said, I'm going to sit there and argue. I've got a point. You know what? I know what Jesus meant when he said this. I know what Paul was trying to write here. So let me interpret it for you. I know all of these things. And God is saying, stop. I love in Malachi what he says. He says, I wish someone would just shut the doors. Your worship is making me sick. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to listen to it anymore. And that's where we are because we have put ourselves on the throne of God. What I have to say is important. This is the church that I built. And heaven, forgive us. When we're slow to speak, we create a buffer. We create a space. And I know those ears create a lot of space, but I told you I'm not a writer, but listening and delaying our response is the Holy Spirit doing a work in us. Do you realize that? We can diffuse anger so easily that rises up in the heat of the moment if we will just stop for a moment. Job goes on in the book of Job in chapter 42. God answers again. And God is saying, where were you when I did this? Look at all the stuff I created. And God gives a pretty in-depth look at all of the things that he has done as our creator. And then Job's confession, it says this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Instead of saying, I won the argument, I'm right, he realizes his place. I have no response to Almighty God. God is God. I am not. Anger oftentimes results in harsh and you say things that you can't take back. So by creating this space, listening, we give God an opportunity to work in our lives. Have you ever left a situation where you felt completely blindsided, where your good intentions were completely misunderstood? Has that ever happened to anybody? I remember when I was teaching chorus, and I just started a high school position, and I got called into a conference, and the parents, you know, it was one of my best students, actually, and the parents were, you know, I could tell they were sitting there like this. It was going to be one of those kind of conferences, and I came in, and they just started, you know, he's no good as a director. My daughter should have made Allstate. My daughter should have done this, blah, blah, blah. My daughter this, my daughter that, and I just sat there, and you know, so the principal looked at me when they got finished. I let them go. I didn't say a word. I didn't try to defend anything. And he says, you know, Mr. Cook, do you have a response? And I'm like, well, yes, I do. I said, we were prepared. We did everything. She knew the scales. She knew her solo. She's one of my best singers. Wonderful voice. She went in the room when I was playing the solo. She cracked on some of the notes. And that messed her up for the rest of the thing. You know, she was like this the rest of the time. And if you're a soprano for Allstate, I know this, you don't even care, but if you were a soprano in Allstate, if you don't get a perfect 10, you're probably not going to make it. If you're a guy and you get like a 30, you're okay, we'll take you. But for sopranos, it is cutthroat. And so the mom looks at the daughter and says, did that happen? She goes, well, yeah. Why didn't you tell me? And it's like yelling at the kid. And I'm like, yikes. You know, I hated to kind of bring that up, but, you know, I thought this was going to be this wonderful thing, and it was like, man, I was completely blindsided by the whole thing. I've been in situations where I've said some things, and people have taken it the wrong way. Has that ever happened to you? It's because, as people, we don't listen. We don't listen. And now we live in a time and culture where we don't even talk face-to-face anymore. We text. We email. We send out some verbiage that you can't take back, and it's out there on the internet and in inner space forever. Do you find yourself quick to become angry? I must admit, sometimes when I look at the things going on in our culture, I feel angry, I feel bitter, and I have to realize in times of quietness and prayer that God, you are still on the throne. You know what's going on. Everything is sifted through your hand. So the first thing is you have to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And the next thing it says, I want us to think about in the next verse, it says, put away all filthiness and wickedness. The verse says this in verse 21. Let me get back to James. Verse 21 says this, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. In other words, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. We live in a time and culture where we have become immune to things that used to turn our stomach. And I thought about this as Margie and I began to get rid of our spring garden and we started to plant our fall garden. There, in the garden, sometimes there are weeds. There are plants that grow that you don't want to grow. And you're praying for the plants you want to grow to keep growing. And we need to tend our garden. We need to remove these weeds from the flower beds. We need to get the thorns from the vegetable patches. And we need to remove in our lives that which is not of God from our lives. Paul says to think on these things, things that are good and pure and holy. And yet we turn on the TV, and we see sex and violence. We see drugs. We see adultery. We see parents despising their children and children despising their parents. And we are constantly bombarded by these evil and filth things that so easily fill our minds. This is what Jesus said in Matthew. He says this, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful, unfruitful. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Do you hear that? He's talking about planting the seed in our garden, planting the Word of God in us. And so he's also saying, hearing the Word of God, hearing, listening, being quick to listen to the Word of God. What is God saying? Is God saying, get rid of the TV? Is God saying, spend more time in my presence in prayer? Is God saying, go and visit these people that need my touch? What is God saying? If we are constantly fighting with one another, if we are constantly on our cell phones, if we are constantly in front of our TVs, how are we ever listening to God? When you open the Word of God, He speaks every single time. So what is God saying? What is God saying to you? We see here that the Word of God can often be entangled, it's hindered, it's from fulfilling its purpose in our lives. It's the Word that has power to save us, to flourish within us. It bears fruit, it gives us freedom, it gives us life. If we humbly, it says, accept it, but we need to weed out the things that are choking the Word of God in our lives. And the last point that I wanted to make is receive with meekness the implanted Word. Are we spending time in His Word? What is God saying to us? Have we reached a point where we think we know more than God? Oh God, these are old, dusty pages. They don't apply today. God never changes. He was the same yesterday, and He's the same today, and He'll be the same tomorrow. His Word is a living and active Word, and it lives in us. It's implanted in us. I love that word. The literal picture here is planting a seed in the ground, and figuratively, as it's used in this, the seed of the Word of truth planted in the good soil. Go back to verse 18. I didn't even put this up there, but in James chapter 1, verse 18, he says this, of His own will, this is God, of His own will, He brought us forth by the Word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. In other words, He has implanted the Word in us. And when we get to know Christ and Christ indwells in us through the Holy Spirit, we say like, okay, I'm there. But the problem is there's still more of us. And so we squash down God. A clean heart, getting rid of the filth. I think, and again, this is me, I think that the principal reason many Christians don't welcome the Word of God, they don't read it, they don't study it, they don't chew on it, it's not that the book is boring, it's not that it's difficult to read, it's none of those things. I think, and again, I can't prove it, but this is what I think, is that lives are too complicated by the evil of the world. The things we see on TV, the movies, the internet, unhealthy relationships that we always find ourselves in. I find you can't have this joy and satisfaction of the world and the joy and satisfaction of God's Word and it coexist. It's going to fight. Because God is calling us out of the baseness of the world. God is calling us to something holy, something new, something different, something righteous. I think some people will have these intellectual problems with the Bible. I don't believe it. I can't believe these stories or things. I don't think it's really an intellectual problem at all. I think it's a moral problem. In other words, I don't want to give up being God in my life to let God, the Creator, be God in my life. Oh, I want a little bit of Jesus kind of sprinkled in so I don't have to go to hell. I want a little bit of the Holy Spirit so I could tell people I'm living in power. I want to know God, but I don't want any interference at all from God or Jesus or this Holy Spirit. I don't want to turn into one of those fanatics. I want to live my life. I want to keep my friends. I want to keep doing the things that I want to do. I want to be God. James, of course, challenges us to do the opposite. He says, get rid of it. Get rid of the filth and the evil. And in the NASB, I believe it says, get rid of the moral filth and the evil and continue to believe the word of truth. God's word of truth has the ability, it's inherent in us, it's the ability and power to accomplish the goal of saving our souls the first time when we come to know Jesus, and then every day after that. Every day. Peter talks about this inherent ability in God's word, and he uses the metaphor of a seed, just like James did and just like Jesus. This is what Peter says. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. He says this in the verse before that, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. The Bible tells us sin is pleasurable for a short time. But just like those buffets, there's going to come time when you enjoy that buffet, you're going to have to come and you're going to have to pay the price for that buffet. So what are you eating? What are you eating? Even as the seeds that Margie and I plant in our garden have this inherent ability to germinate, they bring about new life. Sometimes we'll throw seed in there and we're thinking like nothing's going to happen. And I saw some squirrels out there and they're digging over here. I bet you nothing happens. Then all of a sudden you see it start to sprout. And you see, man, this creation that's coming. That's what God does in our life. So too, that living and active word of God has the ability to bring about a new spiritual life in each of us. So I want to spend just a few moments at the altar. I want to invite you this has been too big, you know, and these have been too small. I want you to say, you know what, today, God, is the day that I want to live like you tell me to live. I want to be who you created me to be. I want to do the things that you have gifted me to do. I want to listen to you. I want to dive into your word. I want your word to be alive in me. So I don't know what weeds, and by weeds, what kind of filth or life, evils going on in your life, what needs to be removed. That's between you and God. Maybe it's something you're watching, or maybe it's something you're reading, and it takes you away from your peace, and it leaves you being unfulfilled and unable to hear from and receive God's word in your life. What is it? I want you to maybe come and spend time with God and say, God, speak to me today. How can I become less and Jesus become more? Would you come? My prayer this morning would be that none of us would leave here today without feeling that God has spoken to us. What has God said to you? And I pray that your week would be a great week. Let's stand to be dismissed.